You're listening to Tin Pod Radio. I'm Adam Pinave.
John Cena! Hate him.
Don't worry, they'll break up soon as she like gets some disease or gets a year older or something.
Or you know, like when neither one of them serves any purpose anymore and their relationship serves
neither
no
neither one of them serves a purpose in the WWE right now.
Fucking can't stand John Cena, okay? He annoys the
if,
shit out
if
of me.
The only reason why they keep him around is he's a good PR person, then just don't let him wrestle anymore.
That match was such a fucking joke last night. But anyway.
Okay.
I just had to, like, interrupt, because that's, you know, the John Cena way.
We did go to WrestleMania. It was in Orlando because two reasons.
One, I don't know, sir. My Instagram photos imply differently.
One is the fact that that's a fucking huge crowd. And two, I can't afford any tickets anywhere near that. And I heard there were $1,400 nosebleed tickets, and I'm like,
and
fuck
that
shit.
And the photos from the nosebleed tickets, like,
you couldn't see,
you couldn't see anything. Like, the lighting was so bright on the stage, like, you could not see a damn thing. Like, it was not, it was worth me driving home and watching it on WWE Network instead.
And the difference is, like, if you're at a concert, you can at least hear it. Like, yeah. If something like it where you want a visual of seeing something, I don't see the point. It's not worth it.
Yeah.
Like, but we went to see, An Evening with J.R. with Jim Ross and friends, and it was Jim Ross, Jim Cornette, Bruce Pritchard, and surprise guest, Mick Foley. Yeah, we totally marked out on that.
See, my eyes got so big, I was like, oh shit, it's Mick Foley. Although, I've met Mick Foley once, he was very nice.
You want to tell that story?
It's not all that interesting.
Well, just tell it, though.
We met him once a long time ago at, the minor league baseball team that is around here. We met him at one of their games, because he actually lives in the north part of the county, or he did at the time. Like, he lives in Central Florida now, but,
The Manatees?
Yeah. You're not supposed to identify where we're from, dummy.
We've already said we're from Orlando and Melbourne before, you fuckhead. Manatees aren't even a thing
anymore. They're not even here anymore. They left.
Was he there doing something, or was he just watching the game?
I think he was just there. Oh, okay. But they used to actually have, like, they would have, like, people come to the games. Like, we met somebody else. Who the fuck was it? We met another WWE person there, too.
We met the Hamburglar. We got McDonald's tickets.
Yeah.
Whatever.
But, no, they had, like, other people. They would have, like, special events there and stuff. And, like, we met Mick Foley once, and...
But at the JR talk, I got to meet Jim Cornette, one of my favorite wrestling personalities ever, and I got a figure signed for him that I bought, and Mara helped me, like, make a tennis racket, because the figure didn't come with one, because the figures are made by an independent company, because he doesn't work for WWE, so they made them so it's more expensive, and it would have cost an extra, like, $10, I guess, on the price for... They said for a tennis racket.
I don't know. Those seem to be about the same price as the WWE one.
No.
I wouldn't go blaming it on the independent company.
No, that's a basic. That figure was $30. Like, an elite or a Hall of Fame figure is only like $20.
Yeah, collectibles are all expensive.
Yeah, you should know.
Look at my Funko shelf.
Yeah, look at your Funko shelf. But, so they don't, it didn't come with a tennis racket, so Mara helped me make one. And when I had Jim Cornette, we got there before the event, and he was signing stuff and selling stuff. And I was like, I didn't know if he would sign the figure because, like, and it's okay if people don't want to, you know, they only want to sign stuff that you buy. That's perfectly fine. You know, some people are like that. But I asked him, I was like, would you sign my figure? And I took it. And he was like, yeah, yeah. And he was like, I loved your, he's like, you got a gimmicked racket. Like, we made a racket for it,
yeah,
and I told him that
it,
Mar
like,
made
yellow
it.
Yellow with, like, the black fuzzy trim on it and
yeah.
stuff.
And he was like, I gotta shake your hand, Mar.
He was very nice.
Yeah, and
I want that shirt that thank you, fuck you, bye.
I need to get that, too.
I want that shirt.
That's what he said when he quit WWE for the last time. He was like, thank you, fuck you, bye.
I love it.
But, yeah, I met him. He was really nice. I also got a picture signed, which is the exact picture that they use.
Yeah, he said it was the one that they sent for the mock-up.
So that I'm going to frame that and have it beside the figure and stuff. And Figures Toy Company, who made it, they also do really good packaging where you can take the figure in and out.
I like that. I've never seen one like that before.
Yeah, it shuts really good, so you don't have to, like, destroy the display box and stuff. So I got that picture signed by him, and then he also, like, it's a pretty good thing. Like, a lot of that stuff, people would charge you for everything. But, like, I got the figure signed, I got a picture signed for him, and then I got a picture taken with him, which was really awesome and cool.
Yeah, they allowed, like, free cell phone photos. I think JR, it was, like, you pay $10 to take a cell phone photo with him, but, like, he was the headliner, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever.
But, and then, like, the talk was really funny and stuff. On the way down there, I actually had Mar, she listened to, the Bruce Pritchard show, and,
I couldn't think of who he was at the time, and it was the same thing with Jim Cornette, like, when you're talking about him, I was like, I can't remember who that is.
And then she said the figure.
And then I saw the figure, and I was like, oh, I know who that is. But, I'm a fucking idiot over here.
Bruce Pritchard, I was like, it's Brother Love!
It took me a while, but I was like, ah, I remember now.
But afterwards, Bruce Pritchard had stuff, and you got to, like, you could buy a photo, and he would, like, sign it, and then you could get a picture, too, with him.
Yeah.
So I got a picture of him with Brother Love, and he's like, I love you on the picture, which
he
I
did,
love.
Here, I love you. And it's like, it even has, like, the dashes to, like, draw out the space and stuff.
So I got a picture.
I love the in-character stuff, but, like, I don't know, that just amuses me.
Yeah,
I got. And they all did really good impressions of, like, other people.
Oh,
like,
Bruce Pritchard, like, is really,
like,
good.
Like, Vince McMahon was really good, but, like,
he's like, goddamn, son. Goddamn, son.
Goddamn. But cover his face.
If you listen to Bruce Pritchard's podcast, he's really good at impressions anyways.
Yeah, like, he is really, really good.
He does Jim Cornette. Goddamn. He's really good. But, yeah, they were all really funny.
Yeah, and then they had, like, Justin Richards from Impact.
Justin Roberts.
Roberts.
He was, like, no, Justin Roberts is the one that has the book, who was a former ring announcer for WWE, and he has a new book coming out. JB.
Yeah, the other
I
guy.
I can't
was
remember
from...
his. Jeremy Borash. He works for Impact Wrestling, which a lot of people hate Jeremy Borash, but I like him. He's just like, some people don't. But he was kind of the MC of the thing, kind of,
yeah,
in doing the questions.
Did a pretty job.
Yeah, I thought he was funny. And
there
he
was
gave
one...
him somebody for him to pick on, kind of, because they kept saying stuff about him.
Yeah.
But, the Pope from Impact was there, and also, it was just really good, and Mick Foley was the surprise that came out, but everybody was also supporting Jim Ross, because if you don't know, Jim Ross's wife recently passed after she got hit, I think, from behind by a car on
she
a scooter.
Died after an accident. Yeah.
So
it was very, very sad.
So he was there, and then he appeared at WrestleMania. At the end, he announced The Undertaker's final match.
I watched all of it except that, because, like, I just got so tired. Like, I
yeah,
it
got...
It was, like, it was so late.
That pay-per-view just went on
was,
way too long.
You know what you could have cut? The fucking John Cena match. Bye!
Yeah.
That
yeah.
shit sucked.
But tell him the moment...
But the best moment was the Hardy Boys!
Yeah, Mar totally marked out when the Hardy Boys music hit.
Oh, my God, that music hit. I was like, yes! I mean, I thought it was weird that they were having, like, an official event, like, yesterday, because there was a tailgating event with them in downtown Orlando, and I was like, I really wanted to go to it, but it did not work out, and I was like, it's kind of weird, because, like, I know, like, there's unrelated events that happen at the same time, like, JR is not with WWE, but, you know, he's having an event coinciding with WrestleMania, but theirs was actually billed as, like, an official event, and I was like, that's really weird. I know they're free agents and everything, but that's super weird. And then it was like, oh yeah, they're back, and they won. Ah!
I hope they do the total broken mat gimmick. And
they need to. They
brother
need to
Neo,
them.
Which is what they call Jeff under that character, brother Neo.
Yeah, like,
and
they
stuff.
Need to keep up that stuff, because frankly, like,
I love Matt Hardy's wife. After they premiered, she posted a meme. It was like,
like, she had Emma Roberts,
bitches.
And it was like, I'm back, bitches.
So it's like,
no, it was a really, it was just like, I really wasn't thinking, like, anything to do with them because I thought they were off, like, doing their own thing.
Well, they appeared at a Ring of Honor event the night before. Yeah. They won the Ring of Honor titles, I think, tag titles, like, a couple weeks ago. And then last night, well, the night before WrestleMania, they lost the belts to the Young Bucks, and everybody's like, there's no way they're going to be there. And then they end up being there.
Yeah, that was just fucking best, okay? Like,
best moment was when Mara was like, where's Jeff? And I was like, probably off doing, planning to do something stupid.
And then moments later, he's got the tallest ladder. He was like, oh yeah, this is what I signed up for. 15-year-old me is super happy. Because, that's, my era of wrestling is, The Rock and Mankind, and then, the tag team.
It's the Attitude Era.
Yeah, the Hardy Boys, the Dudley Boys, Edge and Christian. that's my era. Now this fucking John Cena bullshit. Fuck you. He's so goddamn annoying.
That pay-per-view, though, the planning out of the matches and stuff like that was really weird, and it seemed haphazard, and they had the musical act, and it seems like, why didn't you start the show with that?
It was so weird. They had a musical, they had Pitbull, two matches to the end of the show,
yeah,
or something.
Yeah, and it was like, okay, and then they had Al Roker there, and he took forever announcing.
It was terrible, I'm sorry.
I just thought overall, the planning, it was some good stuff.
I will give Al Roker, I loved his side eye and shade at Ryan Lochte during the Olympics. Yeah. That gave me life. Because I love some pettiness, but he was terrible last night.
Yeah, I just thought it was, disorganized. Overall, the pay-per-view was pretty good.
Most of the matches were really good.
The only bad thing was the Cena match.
The Cena thing was stupid.
And Miz was good in it, and his wife was good in it. By the way, John Cena, your soon-to-be wife is actually better than you.
she took the match. Because I'm sorry, John Cena flopped around like a fucking fish last night. Okay, what the fuck's the Miz's wife's name? Because I don't know new people.
Maurice, I think. It's like a...
Maurice?
Yeah, Maurice.
Something, okay. Yeah. She slapped him, and he went down. I'm sorry, isn't he 300 pounds or something? He's gigantic. Come on. He flopped around like a fish the entire time. And then, Nikki Bella, came out, and she actually, she's not the best wrestler or anything, but she actually did all right. And I just got really annoyed because, he said something to her where it was, you fought back from your broken neck and everything, and, you knew where it was going anyway. But, it was all career-focused what he was saying at first, and he's like, and you wanted your WrestleMania moment. And it's couldn't it have been enough that, she actually did a really good job in her match? No, her WrestleMania moment was he's finally gonna give her a ring. Fuck you, John Cena.
I think she's more interested than he is.
He's so annoying. I fucking hate John Cena. You can quote me on that, bitches.
But yeah, overall, it's really, the Goldberg, you didn't see that match.
Oh, I didn't see the Goldberg Lesnar match. I don't like Lesnar anyway.
What it was, it was predictable, but I thought they did a good job of building up to it and stuff. It's basically them hitting each other with their own moves 4 or 5 times, and then finally
Lesnar
won.
I actually have no interest in either one of them.
The Undertaker match was bad. Bad.
His last few matches have not.
And people were blaming Reigns for stuff in that match, and I don't think it was Reigns. I think the Undertaker can. If you seen him at the Royal Rumble, he looked like he could barely move, he looked better at this than he had before.
He doesn't have the physicality anymore.
And I thought
he's delivered some great matches in the past.
I thought it was such a bad match. Reigns gets to beat him, and probably in his last match, and it really didn't help Reigns. And that should be a career.
Yeah, that should have been a make it.
And it's not Reigns' fault. Everybody goes after him, but it's they're doing bad stuff with him. That's what's making him.
Well, and that was a point that came up in the JR conversation. I forget what question prompted it, but it was I think it was people building their ideal WrestleMania matches or something. Fantasy football over here.
JR brought up how his match, if he could book any match, would be a Lesnar Samoa Joe match, but he was saying you'd have to build it over a year to make it work well.
Yeah, and they don't
well.
Do that anymore. They just do not.
And he actually asked the crowd, he's like, how many think that would work and how many wouldn't? And it was kind of split. And he's like, see, that's the issue.
Yeah, like
right
the
now.
Max length of storylines now is like 3 or 4 months.
I do
maybe.
Think
or like between pay-per-views maybe.
I think one of the problems is attention span. Like, they don't get to do a slow burn on stuff like they used to. Like, the Macho Man thing, I was telling people the other night, they were like, well, they were trying to do a Macho Man Elizabeth thing. And I'm like, well, that was built over probably like 2 years, because it goes for Macho Man's a bad guy. He doesn't treat Elizabeth right. Mm-hmm. She leaves him. Then later on, like, she comes back to him. And basically, when they get back together, it's kind of like he becomes a face again. But it's such a really emotional moment, and then they end up getting married and stuff like that. But that's like over, that's basically
they're,
a long
just,
build of that.
They don't build these stories.
The Cena and Bella thing, they just acknowledged without, you know, they make snide comments that the only reason why her opponents was like, only reason why you got anything is who you're dating. But they technically weren't like together on screen a lot until this, like a month ago, basically.
Yeah, like they all operated separately, and she'd been out forever too. It's because they have that other show. Yeah.
And they didn't build really to it on the wrestling show, and that's what hurts that moment. Yeah, I thought that moment sucked
also,
and stuff,
I mean,
but
it
you didn't build to it.
Like that story from their match last night, like. It smacked of, like, all right, he got eliminated in that match that would have given him a match at WrestleMania. Well, we got to have John Cena at WrestleMania.
And by the way, what Miz said to him, like, I think it was a week ago, was true. It's like, basically, if you do propose, he was, like, saying you're making this about you. And
yeah.
That's the reason
well, that's the way the whole thing read. And honestly,
the
like...
The whole public
and,
proposal.
I like to read on... internet gossip sites, and this is not necessarily related to WWE, but just internet gossip sites, like, for celebrities, and on one of them, the blind item was about a WWE superstar who absolutely doesn't want to have children and doesn't want to get married, and he already dumped somebody else, you know, and all this shit, and it's like, it's about John Cena. Like, they are never gonna get married for real. He's a piece of shit, and he's a terrible, he's a terrible wrestler. I don't like him at all. Like, I find him fucking annoying, and I'm tired of him being everywhere, and I just really want other people to, like, take the spotlight from him.
He's a modern Hulk Hogan.
He's just so annoying.
We just wait until about 10 years from now when, like, he helps cripple a person for life and dates somebody that looks like his daughter. Oh, and all
Hulk Hogan grosses me the fuck out, okay?
But Hulk Hogan actually opened up a new restaurant in Tampa, which next time we're going over there, I'll
probably
go to.
Yeah, we're
going
to end up over there.
But yeah, overall, I thought WrestleMania was good. It was kind of a mess.
The women's match was pretty good.
The first one was pretty good. The SmackDown women's title match went too quickly.
I didn't see that one.
Naomi won the title back, which I liked because she won it, but then she got hurt. Even though Alexa Bliss is my favorite, like, female heel right now. I just like her character a lot. But I like Naomi a lot. And,
My thing is, like, with the Raw, like, women's champs, like, I feel like Sasha's the best one. I don't know, like,
I think Sasha is when they let her be a heel.
Yeah.
I don't like her as a face. It's kind of like making Ric Flair a face. It doesn't fucking work.
My thing that came out of that, though, was, like, I don't know if it's supposed to be part of Bayley's shtick, you know, like, being the, like... the sweet, innocent one. She got to work on her damn poker face in the ring, though. She looked fucking terrified. And I don't know if that was on purpose or not, but she looked fucking terrified, and it annoyed the shit out of me.
Charlotte's facial expressions bother me more than anybody else. Because I do think Charlotte's probably the most talented female wrestler. Her and Naomi, I think, are probably the most talented ones in WWE.
I was pleased watching
But Charlotte... some of her facial expressions make her look like she's going to cry when she's supposed to be upset, like,
some
mad.
Some of her mean faces, she looks like that still of Michael Phelps from the Olympics, where he's got the hood on, he's, like, all pissed off and everything.
Yeah, but he looks mad. Like, she doesn't look mad, she looks like she's, like,
well, she looks
to have
like
a breakdown.
She looks like she's trying to be mad, and it's not coming across. My thing is, though, I don't watch wrestling consistently. So, like, the last time I had really watched Charlotte wrestle, I felt like some of her stuff was not as smooth, and I think that she's gotten a lot smoother since the last time I watched a match. Like, her moonsault was, like, really good. Like, at first, like, I didn't think she landed up very well.
I think the biggest problem with her sometimes is because she is so much freaking taller than everybody else. I think it causes
issues. I don't think
issues.
She judges distance very good because it's not just her, that's them.
Like, other people have to judge their own
distance. Well, but, too, there was one point where she, like, she pulled Bailey to the corner, and she was going to do a moonsault on her, but she didn't have Bailey in the right spot. Like, she would not have landed on Bailey if she had landed it. Like, it was really weird looking to me. Bailey got up before,
well,
like,
that
she landed
it. That happens a lot, though, with moonsaults,
yeah.
Because, like, most people can't control them that good.
Yeah.
Like, where they hit them perfectly, but, like...
Like, the way it looked, like, she wouldn't even land it, like, on
Oh, by the way, like, you should have seen Becky Lynch. Like, she had this, like, weird... And I said online at the time, I said, like, is there a Burning Man in Orlando? Because, like, she had a red hair and, like, these, like, thin dreads. And then she had, like, makeup on her face and it had this gold makeup thing. And it looked like a Burning Man character. Which, I mean, with her steampunk thing, that stuff kind of works. But
she didn't have a match, at all?
Yeah, she was in part of
the NXT?
No, she was part of the SmackDown Fatal 4-Way or whatever for their match. More Naomi won the title. But they did that match really quick because they're running out of freaking time.
And the show was just too long.
Yeah, it was way too long.
And they have too many pay-per-views now.
Well, I don't really mind that because they used to have tons back in the old days and stuff, too.
Well, I think that goes to the whole thing of, like, they don't build up stories now because they basically start a new story, like, to lead up to every one of the pay-per-views now. And there's literally, like, one every other month, one a month now.
One every other month for the brands.
Instead of, like, the four, like, anchor ones that they used to have where, like, WrestleMania meant something.
No,
and it doesn't
like, when
really
you
anymore.
Were watching and stuff, they had one every month because they had the In Your House ones in between the big ones.
Yeah, but those were never, like, really, they were, like, blips in the radar.
The problem with the pay-per-views...
I think now because they have, like, their own network, they push everything, like, way
the
more.
The problem with the pay-per-views now is... They're all, like, you know what's going to happen because they have, like, Hell in a Cell pay-per-view. You know that pay-per-view is coming up in 2 months. Well, there's going to be a Hell in a Cell then. And they have Tables, Letters, and Chairs in a couple months. Like, I think that hurts their pay-per-views. NXT only has, like, 3 or 4 a year, I think it is, pay-per-views. That's all they
have. I think they need to dial it back, honestly.
There's
and like,
no fucking way they're going to do
oh,
that.
Oh, no,
though.
They're not.
You make
but,
too much
but
money.
But that's part of the aspect, too, like, that kept coming up during the talk that we went to, is that they're not building up these long-term, like, really investing time into these stories. They're just churning out a product really fast, and they're not necessarily as quality ones. And, I mean, honestly, like, let's face it, too, like, the fact that they don't necessarily have competition anymore either... Like, they kind of skate by on a lot of storylines. Like, we will never again see, like, another storyline as good as, like, DX rolling up in a tank and shit, you know? Like, there will never be
I never
good.
Liked that, period.
But, like,
I never
but having the rivalry with somebody else,
yeah,
like, you
but
never
I never
see
liked
that again.
Any of the storylines that was basically them attacking each other because I thought that was basically attacking fans for being fans of both.
I don't know. I didn't see it that way.
And by the way, the whole DX thing could have blew up in their faces.
I love DX.
If they had opened that door, like Triple H is saying, like they were worried, like what if they fucking open that door and fucking Haku comes out, who's fucking badass, who wants pulled somebody's fucking top teeth out, just like out
well,
the
they had a tank, dude.
Like there's a famous story of him reaching Haku in a bar and just reaching up, and grabbing somebody's teeth, like mean.
I've seen you rip a man's jaw.
Basically, that's what he fucking did. And
I don't know. I love.
But
I
that
love
opened
the
up. Like Triple H said in the interview, like they had a tape that was ready in case they the door did open and shit happened.
Yeah.
But like. I didn't really like it. I thought DX was okay then, but I still think the best DX is like was just Shawn and Triple H in China because it was like just two immature buckheads doing shit.
You could always tell like China wanted to like slap their heads together.
Well, it was funny though because like they'd have signs that be like I remember once they were coming out with a sign that said I'd rather be in China.
I don't know, I just like
There's one really cool moment, though, where they're coming down to the ring and somebody gives Shawn Michaels a rose. And he grabs it, and he turns around and gives it to China, and she's like, oh. It's actually a really cool moment.
I don't know, like, I like a lot of the new stuff, but...
But they can never do it in WWE because, like, they're a public traded company and they're never going to be able to go adult before.
Yeah, they're just, with the, like, the very polished aspect to it, like, they're missing a lot of stuff.
Well, you can't do a lot of the other stuff. Like, you can't, they're never going to start bleeding all the time again. They're never going to bleed all the time. You know, it happens ever so often. They're not going to do chairs to people's heads anymore. There's too much concussions. Yeah. Even Paul... He, from, like, ECW said his one big regret, he would never let people do that many chair shots. They just didn't know it was that bad for people.
No, and I think some of that is really good. Like, they are taking responsibility for some of those things. I do wish they would, like, craft the stories a little bit better. I'm still annoyed that they wasted my time with the John Cena shit.
I mean, watch NXT. NXT does a lot better job of that.
Yeah, and I mean, I have to say, like, I really enjoyed we went to an NXT show in Coco, and I really enjoyed that. Like,
we got to see Asuka. That was really cool.
Yeah, so I don't know, like, the smaller stuff was good. I just can't imagine spending all that money to go to WrestleMania, and, like, literally the pictures on Twitter were, like, all you saw was, like, a big orange blob in the middle of the arena.
I ain't gonna spend it. If I'm in nosebleed seats, my seats better be under $100, or I ain't doing it. I don't care what I'm fucking going to. It'd be Christ arising, and I ain't gonna spend that much to be that far away. If I was a Sermon on the Mount, and I was way back in Monty Python,
like, what'd you say?
But, like, we had a really good time and stuff.
I enjoyed it. And then we went and we found the giant belt at Lake Eola.
Yeah, they had a giant belt where you could pose with it.
According to my Instagram, I might have been at WrestleMania. You don't know.
If you go on to my Twitter at Hang of Wednesday, you'll see pictures from the two signings I got signed, and then
it was a really cool event, the JR thing.
Yeah.
But, like, my eyes bugged out of my head when Mick Foley's music started.
That was cool.
I was like, oh shit.
And hopefully when JR's book comes out, which I think they said October maybe.
Yeah, I think it was about October.
Hopefully he'll go on a book tour, and then I'll try to go see that. I gotta look up. I heard they were going. Somebody was going to do a limited attendee celebration of Florida Championship Wrestling back from no days.
Hmm.
And I gotta look it up tonight, and see if I can find out information.
Should look that up because we didn't realize
it's gonna be in Tampa if they do it.
We didn't realize leading up to WrestleMania that there were gonna be so many events.
I didn't.
Like,
there
was like 5 days worth of.
I didn't know they did a WrestleCon.
So now we know for the next time.
And a bunch of other stuff. Like, I would have did it.
Because next year it's in New Orleans, and then after that it's probably Miami, right?
I don't know. Like, they only announce, I think, one ahead of time.
Yeah. My thing I got to find out is whether or not there's going to be an NXT show in Coco around Teen Read Week, because I would really like to see if I can get somebody to come to my library. Because WWE has one of their, like, community outreach programs. They partner with the American Library Association for the WrestleMania Reading Challenge, and they, like... They get winners through this reading program, and they actually send them to WrestleMania. And I've had some kids enter it. Like, we've never won anything. But, you know, now that we have actual, like, NXT wrestling nearby, I'm like, you know, like, even if they're an up-and-comer, like, hey, could you send a WWE superstar to my library? So I'm trying to figure out how to pursue that channel, because their community relations website – and there's a lot of layers to it. I was having trouble with that today, quite honestly.
What, you were looking through their
community? Yeah, I spent quite a long time reading through it. Cause they already
did you find what you needed?
I think I identified somebody to contact, but I'm not sure. they already do a lot of events, like, with the Boys and Girls Club and stuff, too. So, like,
well, tell them about the WrestleMania Reading Challenge.
Well, they the WWE partners with the American Library Association, and during Teen Read Week, they kick it off, and that's in October, and they have, like, different contests. Like, one year they had, like, a bookmark design contest, and, like, they've had, like, trivia contests, and, like, you can do, like, a series of events promoting, like, literacy through, like, WWE, you know, like, sports books and wrestling and, like, all kinds of stuff, and they'll take, like, the top kids from around the country, and, like, so many of them get to go to WrestleMania.
That's cool. And they still do that?
They did it last year, so I'm hoping they do it again this year. They should be announcing Teen Read Week stuff, like, next week, because it's National Library Week.
And
so
speaking of New Orleans, when we went to ALA in New Orleans...
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
We got to meet Jimmy Hart.
We did.
I don't even know where that fucking autograph is. I got it.
It's somewhere.
We were trying to find him because they stuck him in some room in, like, this floor where there was hardly anything else, and
that's a gigantic convention center. Yeah.
But, like, we got there after his talk, but he signed a program thing for Mara.
Yeah, because he was doing, like, one of the announcements for the WrestleMania Reading Challenge, so. Come on. Send the WWE Superstar my way.
You know, if I was a good podcast host, I would have, like, segued into, like, this is, now we go into library talk, and then it's, like, other
talk. It's all library talk, okay? Like.
It's just talking with Mara. It's talking with the smallest librarian in the world.
Shut up.
But to end this episode off, Mar, what are you reading right now currently?
I have a gigantic stack of books that I want to read. I don't necessarily get to read everything I want to read.
Sound like me.
let's see. Right now I'm looking at The Walking Dead Volume 27, The Whisper War, which is ahead of where y'all are on the show with the lead up to All Out War. So I'm
actually,
it's
like 20 years ahead, ain't it?
No, it's like 3 years.
What was the time jump?
It was like 3 or 4 years.
Oh, was it?
But don't spoil shit for people because.
I ain't spoiling. Apparently, I think I'm like. How many have come out since they jumped ahead a little bit?
Like 3 or 4.
I think I've only read 2 since they jumped ahead.
But there's other stuff and it would like spoil the All Out War, so I'm not gonna. But apparently, like, Fuckface McGee, Robert Kirkman, has said that, like, The Walking Dead TV show is probably going to go until, like, at least 2022 or some shit. Like, they're going to hit, like, a 20-year mark or something is what he was talking about. I don't know. And I'm like, are you guys for serious?
You don't even watch the TV show really anymore.
I haven't watched since, like, 2 episodes before the Winter break, which I'm gonna go and catch up on it, but
we've got bad about all TV shows.
I stopped watching Game of Thrones. I just stopped. Gotham, we fell off of Gotham. We fell off of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Like,
I still am really into. Like, I was enjoying Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I just got really far behind, and like,
you know what y'all
like
need?
We usually watch like the comedies like every week because we get home from work and we just like watch a comedy or something.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. You know how you can fix the viewership problem? You need to add Miss Marvel. Just do it already.
Though I wouldn't like her character if she wasn't in costume, because that's so much of her character.
They can have her in costume.
That she's yeah, but her character, a lot of it is her admiring somebody else. And
problem
taking on
solved.
A costume.
Problem solved. Miss Marvel TV show. There you go. Problem
well,
solved.
Have her be after the Captain Marvel movie, though.
Yeah.
Because I think what works with the Miss Marvel character is the fact that she admires somebody else and wants to be that person, but it's about her finding who she is and stuff like that.
Okay. And then they could have, like, you know, team up and Brie Larson can, you know, like, be in it. And
that would be cool.
I love it. Yeah.
I love Brie Larson. What else are you reading?
I'm also reading a nonfiction book called Undefeated, Jim Thorpe and the Carlisle Indian School Football Team.
That's cool.
Yeah, which it's really interesting, and I didn't know anything about it. So that helps me with my Reading Without Walls challenge, because I'm reading about something I did not know about, and also I'm reading about a person that is not like me. So if you are not familiar with the Reading Without Walls challenge, it's from Jean Luen Yang, who's the National Ambassador for Youth Literature. And he challenges you to read 3 books, one of which is about a person that does not look like you or does not live like you. One is about a topic that you are not familiar with. And one is in a format that you do not normally read, so like comic books and poetry and stuff.
That's cool.
So read outside your comfort
zone. And I've actually read a lot about Jim Thorpe because when I found out my mom's family were Native, I checked out a lot of books when I was little, and a helpful librarian when I was little gave me stuff on Jim Thorpe and stuff like that. So I've read a lot on him over time, but I've heard you say that that's a good book.
It is really good, and it's by Steve Shenkin, who writes a lot of really good American history nonfiction.
Okay. Do you got any programs? I mean, have you did it? What was your last program you
what
did?
What was my last program? I can't think of anything interesting. We're getting ready to do a couple of programs, like, this week. Like, tomorrow night is our random fandom, and it's all about Doctor Who. And then
How's that random? If you plan it.
Well, every month it's a different one. Yeah. So, you know. And also, in the advertisements for the library system, they never list what I'm actually doing. So, it is random. But that's neither here nor there. And then next week we are doing a Minecraft-themed program. Because we all love Minecraft. And then we're going to do a rock painting program because it's apparently a thing right now is that everybody around here is painting rocks and leaving them places for people to find. So we're going to paint rocks. Because, yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So to wrap this episode up.
Fuck you, John Cena.
I mean, what better way can you end it than that?